Morning, everybody.
Morning.
We have with us this morning Andrew Bennett, who will be leading the service. Just got a couple of notices for you. On Thursday, the Lighthouse Group is doing a sponsored walk for Water Aid. The young people have been made aware of the importance of access to fresh, clean water. If anyone in our church family would like to sponsor the group, please see Eileen or Ian or Linda Morgan. As I've written it, Linda. Thank you. Also, if anybody has, on a personal note, if anybody has spare boxes, sturdy boxes, that can be used for packing, I will gratefully accept them, because I am moving. So thank you very much. Within 28 days, by the way. No, I'm not being evicted. I am moving to a property where somebody's been evicted and I have to go there within 28 days or else. And it's not prison either. Or I lose the property. If I don't move in 28 days, I lose the property, and I'm not doing that. So there we go. After that fun and frivolity, we'll just have a quiet moment in prayer. Sometimes, Lord, the mountain I'm climbing turns out only to be a bump in the road. Sometimes, Lord, the crisis I'm in is not much more than a false impression. Sometimes, Lord, my greatest fear isn't fear at all, but only my lack of trust in you. Sometimes, Lord, when I'm feeling most sad, it's because I've lost sight of what makes me glad. Sometimes, Lord, when I'm lost and alone, the only way home is to take your hand. Sometimes, Lord, when you seem far away, it's only for me to find time to pray. And sometimes, Lord, when prayers won't come, what I need then is rest in the silence we share. Amen.
Thank you so much, morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. It's really good to see you, and great that we can be together again. First time I've been with you for, I don't know, 2.5 years, something of that order. So great to be with you this morning. We're going to continue to celebrate the Easter story in our time of worship today. We're going to think particularly of a passage from the New Testament where the disciples say, "We are witnesses of all these things." That's our theme this morning. So let's continue to worship as we sing our opening hymn. It's one that you know very well, 295 in the books. Alleluia, Alleluia.
Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, Alleluia, give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to
Let's pray together. Gracious God, it's our joy to come and praise you, our living God. In these Easter days, it's our privilege to come and celebrate the life and love of our God. Here amongst us, here in this world, known in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate that you join us together in fellowship, that you lead us in this time of worship to recognize and honor you. We thank you for all that Jesus has done. And as we continue to follow the story this morning, we think of the significant times in which he comes and visits the disciples in those days after his resurrection. We can imagine the scene. We can try and understand the impact on them. But it is through their witness that we meet here, still following you, still willing to serve the living Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and lead us in this time of worship and word. Help us to listen for the voice of God. Help us to rededicate ourselves into your service, to continue to follow you. And gracious God, we know that as we meet you, we know that not everything in our lives makes sense. Not all of our decisions are holy. Our thoughts and our actions often let us down. We confess those things. But at the same time, know that in dying and rising, Jesus found a way for us to be forgiven. A way for us to start again. A way for all of us to know God's love this day and forevermore. Join our hearts and our lives together in praise and celebration, Lord, for we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if I can ask you a question this morning. How many ways are there to say thank you? How many ways are there to say thank you? Say again.
Millions.
Millions of ways. Well, how many? Well, give me an example.
Give somebody a gift.
Cards? Wonderful. Anything else? Just saying it. How would you say it? Thank you. Really? Did you really? Kath thanked the people for emptying the bins on the park this morning. Nice touch. Nice touch. Sending a card. Say again, sorry. Oh, that's great. I didn't think of that one. Yeah, acting back in return, absolutely. What was that old phrase? Say thank you with flowers? Who sends flowers? Who's given their friend or partner flowers recently? Have you? You old romantic. Nice touch. Yeah, yeah. Anything else? Anything else that you do when you want to say thank you? There's some good ideas here this morning.
Just a hug.
Just a hug. That's right. You don't need to speak, do you? You can just say that in a hug. Exactly. What about how we show thankfulness in our lives then? Because we can do those things you've talked about. But actually, for people that say that we have a faith, that come to church. How do we show people that we are thankful? We are Easter people, aren't we? Yeah.
By helping
people that are less fortunate ourselves. That's a great, yeah, obviously, that's a great answer. Demonstrating the way that the message has impacted on us. Yeah.
Having faith in
Yes, acknowledging someone that we don't know. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, yes. Someone on the street, someone that may not have friends or family. Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. There's somebody over here. Don't know who it was.
Just be nice to
people. Will you be nice to me after this service, please, Wendy? I love your hair, by the way. That's me being nice to you. Thank you. You see? She said thank you.
Looking for the positive and the hopeful in the situation.
Yes, looking for the positive or the hopeful. Yes, sometimes, you know, and we know this right now, don't we? Life is not easy and the world is not great, but finding the positives are important. Sue? A smile now, we've not got masks on. You've done a lot of smiling this morning, and we know that you'll say thank you if we produce lots of boxes for you within 28 days, just in case you didn't get that. Yeah. So, thank you. There are a whole range of ways in which we say thank you. And for those of us who come in as Easter people, it is our responsibility to convey this sense of thankfulness in the way that we live our lives, and a number of you have said how you might do that. And of course, the other way that we do this is to bring our gifts of money and time and talents. And I know that there are many of you in this church who do exactly that every week, every day perhaps. So we're going to bring our offering, and then we're going to sing a song of thankfulness to God as part of our service this morning. Sue, thank you very much. Let's pray. Jesus, we really don't understand how much you gave. You gave up your whole life. And you continue to give your love and your inspiration, your spirit to us. So as we dedicate these tokens of money into your service, we actually dedicate all that we are, all that we have, and all that we will be. In your name, amen. So let's sing again. Give thanks.
A grateful heart, give
We're going to listen now to two of the chosen readings for this morning. Marlene's going to talk about the disciples in lockdown in John's Gospel. And then Tony's going to share a story from Acts just to show how the whole story moves forward within a period of time. So Marlene, over to you.
The Gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Thanks be to God.
And the second reading is from the fifth chapter of Acts, reading verses 27 to 32. It's part of a much longer passage entitled, "The Apostles Persecuted." Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Amen.
Thank you both. We use our Singing the Faith hymn books on a regular basis, don't we? But on the Singing the Faith website, they occasionally add new hymns, hymns that have been written in the last few years or so. And we're going to sing one now, and it tells the story of Thomas. So the words might be new, but the tune is one that you will know. So we're going to stand and sing. a hymn which I think is called Thomas, but I'll start with it. Where's the screen, Georgia? Let's put it up. There we are. Safe locked inside that upper room, too scared to let the truth be known. Disciples had to see their Lord before that truth could be their own. So let's stand and sing. So, reminder, our theme this morning is we are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses of these things. So we hear that story, don't we, every year about the disciples being locked away in that room. And they'd been there for a while, so they'd had time to fret and worry. And I suppose that room, when you hear the story, it's full of emotions, isn't it? Emotions that we probably recognise more potently than we've done in our lives so far. Sadness and fear and loss. Bewilderment. There will be some bewilderment in that room. Anger. And of course, in Thomas's story, doubt. John, like the other gospel writers, he records this story a little bit like a witness statement. Because, of course, he's trying to make sure we all know that the disciples saw Christ alive again. That they'd met him and they talked with him. And they were seeing this and experiencing it with their own eyes. Except Thomas, because Thomas isn't there when Christ appears for the first time. And so when they present this story to him, he won't get it. He refuses to believe it. And even though he's been through the same traumatic experiences as the rest of them, it's too much at this point. Thomas has to wait for another 8 days before Jesus appears again. And thinking about this from a human perspective, if Jesus was a mere mortal, He could have been really angry with Thomas, couldn't he? He could have really spat him out for his lack of faith. And yet there's no condemnation. No condemnation for that doubt. There's the opportunity to see and look and touch those wounds from the crucifixion. I feel pretty sympathetic to Thomas. I hope you do as well, because he'd been bold enough to follow Jesus all that way. There's a little passage elsewhere that implies Thomas thought they were going to their deaths in Jerusalem, and he was prepared to face that. So this wasn't a timid man. And at this point, he was just honest about his doubts. By the time he's met with Jesus, he's back to being full of conviction. And he'll take that conviction into the story that we read about in Acts. And as you heard from Tony speaking about it, by the time we get to Acts, we see these people now as powerful witnesses, filled by the Spirit at Pentecost. Christ's teaching making sense to them so they can explain it to others. People coming to them for healing. Their whole boldness that they'd never demonstrated up until that point. And of course, the other effect of that was that they were under suspicion. They were under attack. We know very clearly, don't we, about the importance of witnesses. They're crucial in our justice system. They help the police to put the evidence together. They'll help the Crown Prosecution Service to bring charges if something has happened. They may well help a court to decide if someone's guilty or innocent. And there are witnesses, the people that might have seen the crime or experienced something of it. And then there'll be other people in court who are there as expert witnesses. They might be doctors or forensics specialists or ballistics people. Ordinary people can become witnesses in a major inquiry, can't they? They'll come and tell their story. So in Manchester, in the wake of the bomb at the arena, there have been many people who've been called to give an account, to be a witness. And we'll see that again in the years to come as people explain their experience of COVID and what they've done there. We know that witnesses bring their own perspectives to any particular situation. Where they were standing, where an incident took place, might impact on what they say. Their relationship to an alleged perpetrator might have an impression on their witness statement. A less serious example of this, I had the opportunity to go to Anfield on Tuesday with my daughter's boyfriend. He'd asked if we could go and watch Liverpool against Manchester United. So we did, and we sat together with the Liverpool fans, and we heard some great songs, and we saw some fantastic goals. And whilst I was cheering away, he was really quiet because he supports Manchester United. He was witness to the same thing, but he probably felt quite differently about it. Jesus, as we understand it, had come and shared the most important story, the most important message of God's love for us and for our world. And he needed his followers, he needed his disciples, including Thomas, to take that message forwards. So what we're hearing about, what we're seeing in the story, is the next stage in a transformation experience for them. It's driven by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost hasn't happened here, but it's driven by the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes on them. And then that comes through Pentecost and beyond, and we're into Acts. And just to be clear, whilst Jesus knows he needs his disciples in every age to be witnesses to his truth and his love, so we continue to need him, don't we, to inspire our message, to back up what we say, to turn to when we're in doubt or difficulty. To say thank you, as some of you were saying earlier. Because without Christ, the church hasn't a message. It hasn't any power to share. So what kind of witnesses are we called to be then? What kind of witnesses? Well, I put it to you that the church, our church, is in need of a transformation experience once again, now. I put it to you that some of the emotions in the upper room apply to us as well. Fear of what's happening in the world around us. A sadness, perhaps, about many people's refusal to acknowledge God's love when we think here the world needs it more than ever. For some, worrying about the future of the church, how our model of church, the way we organise ourselves, can continue when numbers are falling or it's hard to get leaders or congregations are getting older, where difficult decisions need to be made and they're too hard to make. I put it to you that whilst our commitment to worship is honourable, it isn't enough to grow as disciples. And we may need to rebalance our time and the church's resources towards Bible study and a commitment to personal growth. And of course, there is doubt, isn't there? Thomas's doubt. That nagging question about whether Jesus is really with us, really with me, in what I'm going through, what you're going through, why I can't seem to sort out this problem, what I can do to help my family or a friend. We are witnesses of all these things, aren't we? And we know, of course, that this story of the disciples locked away, this story of Thomas and of Christ coming once again to meet them all, we know that wasn't the end of the story, don't we? For these men and women who'd been such inconsistent witnesses, they'd been fallible disciples for 3 years, were made into something new as the Spirit comes into their hearts and lives. And that begins to enable them to tell the stories of Jesus, to help those in need, and to challenge the injustices of their society. Listening to a number of people in my own church speaking in recent months about their faith, I've been struck how often people seem to compare themselves to others and then they put themselves down. She seems to have more faith than me. He seems to understand so much more than me. I believe God has given each of us a gift. In fact, I suspect he's given each of us lots of gifts. And he wants us to discover them and use them in our witness to his life in us. It's a much more optimistic and positive way of living out our faith than trying to compare ourselves with other people. So, for example, if you are naturally friendly, use your gifts to encourage and welcome people. If you're naturally practical, your role as a witness may be to show God's love in practical ways. And some of you were telling us that's what you do. If you're able to listen and think deeply about what you've heard, then there are plenty of people who may need your help to work through what's happening for them, to work through perhaps some of their doubts. Jesus picked his disciples for their different gifts and graces, and he still does that with us now. I don't know about you, and I'm careful about taking a political position in the pulpit, but I was pleased to see the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Archbishop of York speaking up against the government's plans to send migrants to Rwanda. When I first heard about it, I thought I checked the diary that it wasn't April the 1st. And then I realised it was much more serious than that. Justin Welby suggested that policy was, quote, the opposite of the nature of God. Now, immigration and people trafficking are not easy issues for a government to solve. But I think he's right to challenge it. And he may even feel more vindicated when he's been on the receiving end of the criticism that came. The Archbishop offered a witness from the church that the church has a view on questions like that and a strong opinion, and it's not afraid to express it. We are witnesses to a story of love and of sacrifice and of God's generosity and infinite patience with each one of us, with our weaknesses and our frailties and our doubts. That's who God is. That's what God's doing, being patient with us. And he then calls us to be his witnesses in the world, to share that story with other people, to show it in the way that we live, to show how that story makes a difference in the small things and in the big decisions. We may well struggle with times of doubt and uncertainty as life takes its twists and turns. By his Spirit, let's trust Christ to stay alongside us in those times, just as he's promised to do. I love the fact that when he comes into that upper room, he says, "Peace be with you." He brings his peace. So whoever you are and whatever you face this morning, as you meet him, he brings you his peace. We are witnesses of these things. Let's be ready to speak up for what we know and what we've seen and what God has done and is doing within us and among us. And to God be the glory. Amen. This next hymn is a bit of a witness statement. So read it like that, sing it like that, and I hope it helps. It's 339, Singing the Faith. "When you prayed beneath the trees, it was for me, O Lord."
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that song, but I thought that was really good. Thank you very much. Kath's going to lead us in our prayers now. Thank you.
Is there anything particular that anybody's got anything to pray, that they want praying for in church this morning? That because I'd got just put it in. Yeah, meeting, UN meeting. Yeah. Anything else? I was talking with Pauline. We couldn't think of anybody that was ill at the moment, which is a good thing. But somebody else might know of somebody that's ill that needs praying for. Excuse my glasses as well.
Yeah.
Connie Dixon.
She lives at
Right, okay. Connie Dixon, we'll pray for her.
Matt Wild.
Pat Wild. Ian, yeah. Millie. Yeah. After the death of Geraint as well. Unless there's anything else, we'll pray together. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we come now to share in our prayers for others, we recognise that you are closer than we can ever know. And as the first disciples were surprised by your presence in the upper room, so we are continually surprised by your presence in situations, bringing your peace that passes understanding. We pray for your church, that it will continue to be a witness to your resurrection power, with the hope and new life that that brings. We pray for our circuit in all the changes taking place, that your mission among our communities will grow and flourish. We pray for people caught up in the war in Ukraine, for the people surviving under bombardment, for the bereaved, for the refugees. We pray for peace. And we pray for the UN meeting that's to take place, that nations will come together. We pray for peace. We pray for people facing money worries, and we pray for a just and fair society for all. We continue to pray for the fight against climate change, that both governments and individuals will play their part in saving this planet from the catastrophe of global warming. We pray for the sick. We pray for Connie Dixon, for Pat Wild, and for Millie. We pray for the bereaved, again Millie losing Geraint, and for Mike and his family as Mike's sister died this week. And just in a moment of silence, let's pray for those people that are on our hearts. God knows the situations. God knows the people. God knows our concern. We spend a moment in silence. So, Father God, as we've brought our concerns for others to you, we pray that you will infuse your resurrection hope and power into all life around. When we doubt, Lord, like Thomas, show us your hands and feet show us how you can be that resurrection power. May we know your love and your grace in our lives and the lives of those around, that we might be witnesses to your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn this morning is a great statement of our faith, our belief, and I hope you enjoy singing it. So it's 303, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Please be seated. Now, there have been some really busy people at the back of church this morning, drawing and colouring and doing all sorts of things. I'm just wondering, they normally come up to show, don't they? Would you like to come and show us what you've been up to? Tell us a little bit about it. They don't want to. I think they're still very busy. I can see some very nice pictures from a long way away here. Oh, that's lovely. So you've been colouring in some crosses, some Easter crosses. Are you coming now? Fantastic. It's all right, it's all right. Come and show us. And you've got a dinosaur on your T-shirt. Yeah, you can show us that as well. Come and stand on the step and then everybody can see you. Wonderful. Oh, you've got... what have we got? Let me just lift you up. Oh, excellent. So we've got a lovely cross because it's Easter...
My daddy has.
Yeah, wonderful, yes. So there you are. Your dad's been helping you with that. And you've done a little quiz sheet, haven't you, about a maze, an Easter cross maze with lots of colouring. And how have you got on with yours? So again, you've got some of the Easter crosses there. And it's colour by numbers, isn't it? So you've put different colours in different places. Fantastic. Did you have any help or did you do it all on your own?
I thought you would.
Well done. And can we just have a look at your dinosaur? What sort of dinosaur is that?
Diplodocus.
There are some people here who are older than the dinosaurs. And I wonder who you could see was older than a dinosaur here. You can find them later when you're having your juice. I'm sorry, everybody. I didn't mean to offend you. You think someone might be older than a diplodocus? Really? Who is it? Oh! Okay. I'm getting myself in a lot of trouble now, aren't I? Thank you very much. Can we give them a round of applause for lots of busy work? Well done. You go back to where you were. Oh, careful. Let's say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Happy Easter, everyone. Good to see you.